I'm Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. We're getting our first look and listen at police body cam video of last year's attack on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul.
Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on right now?
That video just released by the San Francisco Superior Court. Correspondent Carter Evans has more on how the arrest of suspect David DePap went down.
Police say drop the hammer. DePap says no, and he swings it really hard at Pelosi. And at that point, police dive in, tackle DePap. You see Pelosi on the ground. He's bleeding, and they take DePap into custody.
We're just a few hours away from the release of police body cam video in Memphis showing the violent arrest of Tyre Nichols during a traffic stop. Nichols died days later, and five black police officers were fired and now face charges, family attorney Ben Crump.
When is white officers, we think it's also important to the community that there is swift action and that we move swiftly to justice.
CBS's Jared Hill on why the video won't be released until tonight.
Local officials chose to wait until after the school and business day was done to release this footage. Memphis area schools, in fact, canceled all after-class activities preemptively.
CBS's Omar Villafranca.
One thing we have not seen is a bunch of businesses putting boards up yet. Mind you, it is still going to be a business day today, and in this economy, all these businesses are going to try to stay open and get as many customers as they can.
U.S. consumer spending fell in December, slowing down the economy heading into the new year. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
That means that it is likely that the Federal Reserve will hike interest rates by another quarter of a percentage point when it meets next week to determine policy.
And stocks are in positive territory. The Dow up more than 92 points. New blood donation guidelines from the FDA. Gay and bisexual men will be able to donate without abstaining from sex if they're in a monogamous relationship and pass a screening questionnaire. And this from the FDA's Dr. Peter Marks.
All prospective donors, regardless of their gender identifications, who report having a new partner or more than one partner and anal sex in the past 3 months would be deferred from donation.
Palestinians have fired more rockets toward Israel, and Israel is struck back. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Hamas said the rockets were in retaliation for an Israeli raid into the Jenin refugee camp Thursday that left at least 7 Palestinian militants and 1 civilian dead. The Palestinian Authority said it was cutting off security coordination with Israel. The rockets from Gaza did not cause any Israeli casualties, and the Israeli airstrikes were also limited.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. There's been a spike in overdose deaths in January. Wisconsin officials are concerned about a new drug called Trank, which is a mix of fentanyl and xylazine. Xylazine is an animal tranquilizer, which is supposed to prolong the user's high. It can also cause horrendous skin wounds. Xylazine, which can't be treated with Narcan, was found in nearly 8% of fentanyl overdose deaths in 2021. For the first time since Governor Evers took office in 2018, a majority of DNR board members are his appointees. Republicans spent months refusing to hold hearings on the governor's choices. Scott Walker appointee Fred Prehn refused to step down even after his term expired, casting the deciding votes to expand the wolf hunt quota and kill proposed limits on PFAS and groundwater. Prehn finally resigned in December. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Could you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian, bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon, right before the weekend, by William Walter, across Civic Media here in Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, The Shaw in Waukesha, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh Air Support, WGBW in Green Bay, Lake Erin Amory, and news from the Center and Richland Center. Will, how you doing on this Friday afternoon?
You know, Luke, I know I said on Tuesday that my favorite Wednesday was a Tuesday, but I think my favorite Wednesday is actually a Friday.
That's fair. I think this is the same setup as last week, to be honest. I think we did Tuesday, Friday 2 weeks in a row now.
I can work with that.
When you average it all out, you get a Wednesday, right? Come on. We get there through the averages.
I'm not sure that's how averaging days work, but I'll let you roll with it.
Did you see how the former guy decided to average the rounds of golf to declare himself the winner down in Florida of the senior whatever tournament was going on at his golf course?
Geez, no, I didn't, but now I'm going to have to because that sounds hilarious.
It's pretty comical. He missed the first round of 18, and so coming into the second and third rounds of the tournament, he just gave himself a handicap of 5 and then won the whole thing because he skipped that first round going to, I forget what event he was at. He missed it, and he wanted to be at the tournament, and so he gave himself a 5-stroke handicap and then declared himself the victor of the tournament.
It's like gale force winds on the first day. So he's like, darn it, guys, I can't play today. I have this event, but I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, it was the funeral for either Diamond or Silk. It was the Diamond and Silk funeral. One of those individuals, I forget who passed away.
I believe Diamond
passed away, and he didn't even know Silk. He said in the eulogy that he was like, I had never even met Silk, even though I believe he had because he...
numerous times. Yeah. He has met both of them numerous times, yeah.
And so at that event, he was bemoaning the fact that he could not be at the golf tournament and then gave himself a 5-stroke handicap, which...
He was also complaining about how long the event was lasting. He was like, they told me I'd only be here for a little bit.
And he missed the whole first round because of it. But, you know, I hear he cheats at golf no matter what. So even had he made the first round, he probably would have just said he wanted it, whatever. Folks, mm-hmm. get ready for some pre-weekend tangents here on Dueling Tangents. We got numerous headlines that we're going to get to about what's going on. Earlier in the week, we had the State of the State address from Governor Tony Evers kicking off his second term. We'll dive into a couple of the proposals. The surplus is expanding. This news broke yesterday, right before we wrapped up the big show on Thursday. So we'll get a little bit more into the fact that this budget surplus for the state of Wisconsin is now going to be more than $7 billion. But Will, where I think we got to kind of start the show today is, now that we got a couple tangents in, just to warm us up, Wisconsin being in the national spotlight, and anytime the state gets some very important coverage in the New York Times, I think it's important to discuss. So, headline over at the New York Times, Will, is 2023's biggest, most unusual race centers on abortion and democracy. The election for a swing seat on Wisconsin's Supreme Court has huge policy stakes for the battleground state. Cash is pouring in, and some of the candidates have shed any pretense of judicial neutrality. To be fair, the New York Times, I don't know if they're always focused on us down here in Wisconsin, Will, but the longest running joke is pretty much that this is a nonpartisan race for the state Supreme Court. That's long been known to not really be the case. Each side kind of picks candidates, and it's pretty partisan when it all boils down to it.
But I mean, it's nonpartisan in name only, right?
Yes. Exactly. Is that a Nino then, instead of a Republican in name only, being a Rhino? Is it this nonpartisan in name only? It's a Nino.
Is that going to be the next like woke culture battle?
I have no idea. But what are your thoughts on this New York Times piece, Will? Pretty much letting the entire nation know that we've got a pretty important Supreme Court race here coming up in April.
Well, Luke, as you are very well aware, because you and I have been discussing this for months and months and months on end, this is the race. This race will determine the next two, possibly three decades in the state of Wisconsin, and not just for the obvious issues such as, you know, abortion, but one of the country's most aggressive partisan gerrymanders is right here in our home state of Wisconsin. Yeah. And if we want to have maps that are more reflective of our voting demographics, this race is going to kind of define who is drawing those maps. 10-year term, remember? So we are situated rather well if this race goes as it could for us. But if it doesn't, we're gonna be facing a very difficult next decade, to put it mildly.
A lot of the consequences here in Wisconsin tend to have 10-year ramifications. Like it's unnerving almost how many decisions last for a decade. And I think the gerrymandered maps have shown us how long that process can truly be. The fact that it could be 2031 before, if this race is lost, 2031 could be the next time that these egregiously gerrymandered maps could be addressed. It is pretty wild to think about, Will. That's 8 years from now.
2031.
Yeah, and that is that would be the consequences of if this Supreme Court, the next time to address this Supreme Court seat would be 2033, because yes, it's a 10-year term, and that holds a lot of consequences for the state of Wisconsin with how long these timelines play out. It may feel like we jumped from the midterms right into this election cycle. In a lot of instances, we did. I acknowledge that. I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe don't want to acknowledge that, don't want to admit that it's pretty wild that so closely after a hard-fought midterm election and governor's race and down-ballot races across the state of Wisconsin that we're already presented with another statewide race. But the focus has got to be on this. And this piece from the New York Times does lay out a lot of the different ramifications that a 10-year term on this state Supreme Court could mean for Wisconsin. But it also, it bleeds over to issues in 2024 with the state's presidential. Like, the list is almost endless, Will. So which one do you think of what they cover? Because they talk about the gerrymander, they talk about abortion rights, they talk about a lot of different aspects. Democracy here in Wisconsin. Which one do you think is the biggest issue that voters should be paying attention to when it comes to this race that is now just about 10 weeks away in April?
Well, one thing I got to point out, Luke, because you touched on it, is that protecting democracy is a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job,
yeah.
Right?
And like, it's not as sexy as some other issues. Democracy, it's really easy to chant USA when you're watching a World Cup game or you're at a local sporting event or just being like, freedom, America, all those things. That's really easy to do. But actually protecting the bedrock of democracy, that's not as sexy of an issue, Will. And not everybody can necessarily see when there are attacks to erode our democracy, like meeting in private and signing fraudulent documents saying that really one candidate won the state's 10 presidential electors, but then just never being held accountable for that fraud. Like, those things that are happening behind the scenes, they're not getting as large of headlines as they should be, and so that's the reason why we talk about them here on Dueling Tangents. But democracy isn't necessarily the issue that fires up a lot of people to go to the polls.
I think people take it for granted, particularly young people, right? Like, this is all we've ever known. We just kind of assume, because we grew up in an atmosphere of the United States is the leader of the free world, we're the greatest country of all time, you know, it's so awesome living here, democracy, rah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. But as you said, you got to be putting the work in at the ground level if you want to protect some of these rights that a lot of us, again, have kind of taken for granted. And we talk about the role that the Supreme Court has played, particularly in the past 3, 4, 5 years. Obviously, we know about the Republican-drawn maps, but additionally, the court has ruled that most drop boxes for absentee ballots are illegal. They struck down Tony Evers' pandemic mitigation efforts, stripped regulatory powers from the state school superintendent, allowed political appointees of Scott Walker to remain in office long past the expiration of their terms. Fred Breen, who has been covered on this show previously, that is a story we have touched on numerous times.
No friend of the show here with Fred Prenn. Like, no friend of the show. That's for sure.
So uncivilized.
As well as requiring public schools to pay for busing to parochial schools. Like, there is a lot of different policy issues that the Supreme Court has weighed in on, and one that I also think is really, really worth noting is that the court ruled in December 2020 with a 4-3 ruling. I believe it was, of course, Hagedorn who sided with the liberal justices to reject Donald Trump's campaign effort to invalidate 200,000 votes cast in Milwaukee and Dane County. That story is going to resonate with Democrats at the national level, particularly elected officials in Washington that might be concerned that a more conservative court would reach the opposite conclusion sometime in the future, perhaps in the 2024 election, and all of a sudden the fraudulent elector scheme comes to fruition, and we have a true constitutional crisis.
And that time, that scheme works. That is the scary part, when accountability is not had in those fraudulent elector cases.
It becomes a test run, a trial run.
Exactly. It is a dress rehearsal for attempting to do it again. And it is going to be painted. We're already seeing some of the conservative commentators in this piece over the New York Times referencing, the stripping away, the not acting like this is as nonpartisan as I would love for it to be. I wish we could have some nonpartisan judicial races. But when conservatives are very, very open with who their candidate's going to be, I don't think that we can unilaterally disarm. So liberal-leaning or progressive-minded individuals have to back a candidate as well. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more on the other side of this commercial break. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Let's get them in before the weekend begins. We'll be right back.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for scattered snow showers. High of 32, southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Snow showers likely at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 21. Cloudy skies expected. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers, by the way. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. And Will, there's going to be a removal of the nonpartisan labels of this race. There is a primary election coming up in February, and there are four candidates running, two liberal-leaning candidates, two conservative-leaning candidates, and
leaning is doing a lot of work there, Luke.
I don't know. It's four candidates,
but it's a nonpartisan race, so we're only, these are Ninos we're talking about here. We got to be very careful.
Yes, and so that's in general the painting the picture of the candidates in this race. And the fact that these candidates know that it is kind of a running joke that this is a nonpartisan race, they're kind of at least attempting to broadcast or signal where they would fall on these issues, because we know these issues are what could come before the state Supreme Court come the new court in June, I believe, when this justice will be seated. And so these candidates are signaling kind of where they stand. And conservative candidates, when a liberal candidate signals where they would, say, rule on the issue of gerrymandering, calling the maps rigged, as one of the candidates, Judge Protasiewicz out of the Milwaukee area, called the maps that Wisconsin has rigged. And immediately the conservative justices were like, oh, they're trying to be judicial activists. Even though Dan Kelly sat on this Supreme Court in the past and was a part of an extremely activist conservative majority that would allow and handpick cases from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is referenced in this New York Times piece. And so it's very interesting that when a liberal does it, the conservatives are just like, oh my gosh, they're activist judges. And then they have no problem themselves, though, just being super activist judges when they have the majority, which we've seen over the better part of the last decade as the court has held a conservative majority.
I got to drop the Will Hoyt quote, Luke. Conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit. There must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect.
I wonder if that's on the wall over there at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Do you think they have that on, like, a plaque or something?
It's the tap the sign Simpsons meme whenever somebody's, yes, like, sitting around.
Don't make me talking tap about, the, like, sign again.
Guys, should we be impartial here? and they look at the sign, they're like, a little tap, and they're like, oh, no, you're right. Good point. It's especially ironic from Dan Kelly, because let's not forget that just last year he participated in the election integrity tour that the Republican Party of Wisconsin sponsored as they went around the state trying to rally poll workers to their cause.
I'm still a little shocked that Michael Gableman hasn't used his name ID from running around on the wild goose chase that was the special counsel's investigation into voter fraud that never amounted to anything. That's just been swept away. Michael Gableman was right there trying to primary, like, in support of Robin Voss's primary opponent, and now everybody is just like, oh yeah, Michael Gableman. And he burned through $1.25 million on this chase of saying that there was impropriety in our elections without ever producing any evidence of those claims. And I truly thought that Michael Gableman was going to use that name ID to run for state Supreme Court again. And
I'm kind of surprised he didn't as well. Yeah, I'm
shocked. It's too bad, because I thought a five-way race would have been even more entertaining, Will, but that one did not come to be on the 2023 bingo card. But it is very fascinating to me that when judicial activism is called out, if a liberal candidate running for this seat mentions anything, they're a judicial activist. But conservative members, previous members of the court, that Dan Kelly is like, yeah, I struck down the safer at home issues, or he played a role in one of the things, I believe, before leaving that term that he lost in 2020. I think right before he lost, he ruled on removing the safer at home mandates that the governor implemented in the state, like many other governors did around the country, to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And so Dan Kelly is fine pointing out the times when he was a judicial activist and handpicked those cases coming before the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but now will decry.
You got to talk connections too, Luke. Remember that Dan Kelly was endorsed by Donald Trump, praised him numerous times at numerous different rallies, particularly the Milwaukee rally, where that famous image of him standing up on stage with massive Trump banners behind him, left and right. He also has the billionaire Uline family throwing money at him left and right. Obviously, the Ulines are, they're a friend of the show in the sense that we talk about them frequently, but that is no friend of ours. And then on the other side,
I would never say that they're a friend of the show. No, Liz and Dick, I do not think probably very, very much like what we discuss here on Dueling Tangents.
They give us great talking points, though, being so unabashedly anti-democracy.
Not talking points in the sense that we're echoing them, more of things that we can beat up on.
That we can laugh at.
Yes.
And then on the other side, you got Judge Doro's husband, Brian, who worked under Trump's Department of Homeland Security. You talk about the judicial activist and how conservative operatives love to rail on Democrats for saying, these are my beliefs, this is what I think should happen, which is kind of comparing your personal ideology to what you think should be represented on the court. And then they turn around and not only do they do the exact same thing, but they do it significantly more aggressively. Like, this is the type of projection that would put a high-end Sony, I don't even know the name of it, but some like super movie theater projector to shame, right?
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. We're going to talk a little bit more about the fiscal state that the state of Wisconsin is in, thanks to a pretty good term, first term, by Governor Tony Evers, and some of the new secretaries he has when we get back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News brief. FBI Director Christopher Wray says he's seen the police body cam video of Tyre Nichols' violent arrest.
What happened in Memphis is obviously tragic. I have seen the video myself, and I will tell you, I was appalled.
That video will be released tonight. Nichols died days after the arrest. Five officers have been fired and charged. Family attorney Antonio Romanucci.
Make no mistake, Tyre Nichols at all times was an innocent victim on that night. He did nothing wrong. He was caught up in a sting.
Another body cam video has been released, this one in San Francisco, showing the attack on then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, CBS's Carter Evans.
They knock on the door, and immediately when it opens, they see Paul Pelosi and David DePapp, basically with both of them with their hands on a hammer. And police say, drop the hammer.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The State Justice Department is suing the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, alleging the agency offered a woman less pay than men with similar qualifications. In 2016, Military Affairs offered an internal candidate a job as Wisconsin's director of the Bureau of Response and Recovery. The job listed at $79,000, but they offered her less. It was also 11% less than it was paying a man doing a similar job. The lawsuit says a man was eventually hired for the job and he was paid more than she was offered. President Biden and Donald Trump are popular with their bases, but they don't necessarily want them to run for president again. The latest Marquette University Law School poll says 48% of Wisconsin Republicans don't want Trump to be the nominee next year. 51% of Wisconsin Democrats tell the survey they feel the same way about Biden. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Up on the mountain, caught on the rail line.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here at Civic Media, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see all the programs, the stations, station coverage map. You can find out about really cool things like what we did yesterday with the $1 million advertising giveaway. Those winners of the ad giveaway will be announced later next week. But really looking forward for all the small businesses across the state of Wisconsin that will have the ability to work with the Civic Media sales team here around the state and craft their message to send it out over our airwaves. And Will, you downloaded the Civic Media app, right? You've got that.
Yes, sir.
You got that bad boy on your phone, right?
Of course.
There we go.
How else am I going to listen at the gym?
It's very easy to download as well. You can go and Apple, Google, either the App Store, Play Store, and download it. Have it on your phone. Take us with you wherever you go.
And hello, this is Aaron. I, too, have the Civic Media app because when I'm driving to Manitowoc,
there you go.
I go through so many different stations. Instead, I just put on the app.
That works as well, Aaron. And I did not acknowledge Aaron filling in for Evan on this Friday afternoon. Appreciate him working the ones and twos. Good to know, Aaron, that you've got it and use it for your commutes back and forth between here and Manitowoc. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And well, as I alluded to, we touched on it at the end of yesterday's show, but it's still always a little bit of a surprise. Every time we get an update that the state's surplus is growing more and more. And earlier this week, Republicans had the audacity to say, well, it was us that we're responsible for this great fiscal shape the state is in. But really, they haven't done a whole lot of legislating that at least I think they could use to take credit for this since, well, almost about this time last year, the first week of March. So what are your thoughts on the state now having a projected $7.1 billion in the state's coffers of projected surplus?
I was going to say, if tradition holds true at this point, we only got about two or three more weeks of Republicans in office before they take their very well-deserved 2023 break. Again, if anybody has any idea how I can find a job like that, please let me know, because that is a sweet, sweet gig. And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see good news like this. Usually we cover some of the, you know, more negative news stories that are coming out because that's what's important to talk about. But $7.1 billion surplus, billion with a B. Can you imagine what we can do with that kind of money from an infrastructure perspective? How we can give back to our communities? God, it's vital that we take advantage of this, because if it ends up just being a tax cut for the ultra rich, I'm sorry about that. My dog is crying a little bit.
That's
in the background.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all right, Sam.
We understand.
It's okay, Sam.
It is 2023. We understand. There's a lot of us, and I'm sure there's a lot in the listening audience, Will, that occasionally work from home, and the little ones, the critters, the children, anything like that in the background is totally, totally fine. But yeah, I have a feeling that Republicans took their bet to say, oh, well, we're gonna hold off on delivering any of this. Again, last year, the biggest issue that Republicans were decrying was inflation. It was something that they tried to say was the effect of it, like government spending, the Democratic spending proposals. But really, inflation, as we've discussed on this show, was because corporations saw an opportunity to blame supply chain problems and the coming out of the worst pandemic in 100 years, a global pandemic, to go and jack up their prices.
Don't let a good crisis go to waste, right?
Right, and they saw that. And so, yes, inflation hit record highs for 40 years, but corporate profits were at 50-year highs. And so the corporations ran away and caused a lot of the increased prices that we saw. But in failing to actually deliver during an election year, Republicans refused to send any of the surplus back to Wisconsin families that were suffering from those high prices. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to gamble. We're going to hold off on this until we think we can get a Republican governor to sign off and give this historic surplus to our campaign contributors and the wealthiest Wisconsinites. And that bet did not pan out. Governor Evers won in a Wisconsin landslide by more than 3%. And now Republicans are going to be faced with coming up with a compromise that the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor can agree upon. But I have a feeling there are still going to be a lot of tax cuts. I just hope we get to see some investment
certainly
in the state as well.
On something you touched on, Luke, that I think is incredibly noteworthy is the role that corporate price gouging has played in inflationary inflationary times we're seeing today, particularly with the price of eggs. I think that is the absolute perfect example because of the parallels to the supply chain disruption that COVID caused. Now, obviously, those who have been following the story are very well aware that the avian flu has spread throughout the United States and has hit numerous farms throughout the country. Millions and millions of infected chickens have been killed to prevent the spread. Now, Cal-Maine Foods, which is the largest egg producer in the entire country, controlling about 20% of the retail egg market. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know how they managed to do this, but at their own financial disclosure reports stated that they have not had a single positive avian flu test on any of their farms across the entire nation, right? So their production has not been hampered. The egg production as a whole is, but this individual producer has not. Now, they have also reported quarterly sales up 110% over the same quarter in the prior fiscal year, and gross profits up more than 600%. Now, we have seen there have been a number of Farm Action, for example, which is a nonprofit focused on protecting consumers from aggressive and unethical practices from some of the largest producers in the country, wrote a letter to the U.S. government basically accusing Cal-Maine of an aggressive price gouging scheme that they are using the avian flu pandemic as a cover for. Of course, Cal-Maine said, no, the price of fuel is up, the price of feed is up, the price of everything is going up. But conceptually, profits should stay pretty similar.
Right.
If prices are going up,
right.
if costs increase,
of your
revenues would increase equally.
Exactly. If all of your costs were going up, you would not see a 600% rise in profit margins. And so it is very, very telling that these corporations, as you said, Will, are taking a crisis and trying to exploit it when it comes to the price, specifically here, as it goes to eggs. But it is very telling that is the case. Here in Wisconsin, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this budget surplus. But again, I don't think Republicans can take credit for this. It just doesn't make sense. As reading from a piece over at the Cap Times, the Legislative Financial Bureau analysis cited several factors that contributed to the $524 million difference, the most significant of which is the state's projected Medicaid fund surplus. So Republicans haven't done anything to increase or contribute to that. That was the American Rescue Plan passed by Democrats in Congress and signed by President Joe Biden that would have left any additional matching funds into that. And so the state is in excellent economic shape to be able to have the momentum and deliver results for Wisconsinites. But that momentum is going to be just completely kneecapped if this excess of state funds is just used to cover the gaps that tax cuts would further make for the wealthiest among us. If they come up with another, say, a manufacturers and agriculture tax credit that would hit some other sectors that gives those other sectors the 0.35% tax rate or whatever it is, the minuscule tax rate that allows individuals without proving job growth, without proving no better example than Ron Johnson's Family Foundation and his children using that manufacturing and agriculture tax credit to not pay income tax on the Family Foundation. So there are loopholes that these Republicans create, former Governor Scott Walker signs off on, and then it allows us to not actually have the funds to invest and deliver, to be able to attract more workers to Wisconsin, which, again, if any legislative or executive proposal comes forward in the next 4 to 7 years before we hit 2030 that is not specifically working to address attracting more individuals to our workforce, Will, I don't think that proposal should go forward.
Because you're not thinking of the snowbirds, Luke. We got to win over those snowbirds. Everybody knows that's the key to long-term economic success.
The oldest people, just attract the oldest people you possibly can. The people that are retired that are contributing. I don't understand Robin Voss's obsession with snowbirds. I really don't. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless he's, again, projecting, which Republicans like to do. And then maybe, fingers crossed, he's going to be retiring and be a little bit of a snowbird himself. But as you've pointed out as well, he could do that the way that they call legislative sessions here in the state of Wisconsin. He'll just fly down to one of the southern states, either Arizona or Florida, wherever the snowbirds fly off to, because he gets done with work in the first couple weeks of an even-yeared year. But
March to December, he spends down in Florida. But January, February, Wisconsin is his home as the elected leader that he is.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us, you can at 844-967-2789. We got Larry in Sun Prairie calling in. Larry, what's on your mind today?
Oh, where should I start? I mean, they could have more money than that $7.1 billion if they, you know, they contract out to more so than any other state. And I'm talking engineering and roads and planning, and some of it goes to India, computer programming that they have to, you know, they're updating a lot of the computer stuff for zillions of dollars. And they're using outside sources, and that's where India comes in. You know, this whole thing in Richland Center, too, with they're closing the UW. Well, they got a lot of pushback on that. And what's the purpose of that? They're going to save more money, supposedly. But and the people are having these town hall meetings. And what should we do? Well, I'll tell you what you should do. Start voting your interest. The guys that are making these decisions are you-know-whos. And, you know, it goes on and on. You know, the state is also, I'll tell you, I'm a retired public health person from the state. I was president of the State Engineers Union for many years. And when I retired, about 6 months later, they asked me if I would be willing to come back as a volunteer for hazmat. We do emergency response. And in fact, I just got a computer program upgrade of a program that's provided by the Department of Defense that they use for exercises and drills and, radiological emergencies. It's emergency government. And, you know, I'm thrilled to death that they still have confidence in me. But here's the deal. People were retiring, and now they don't have knowledgeable people filling those spots. And they're talking of doing that with teachers, trying to bring retired teachers back into the fold because they don't have enough teachers. And, you know, you get the kind of government you vote for. And I don't know how people are being, you know, your shows advocate this all the time that, you know, and I think you started out saying, how can I get one of those good jobs? Like a legislator, where they
Will wants one of those jobs. I don't know.
I want that job, dude. 60 days of work a year. You're going to pay me $55K and give me government health benefits? Yes, sir.
Sorry, Larry. We're coming up here on a commercial. But yeah, it is. You get the government that you vote for, and that's part of what we're doing here at Civic Media, trying to educate more people about the kind of government that we're receiving. We'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. One more segment of the day. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hump Day equals Greg Bach Day.
It is. It is.
Yeesh.
Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 3 a.m. Sunday morning. 15 tonight, under cloudy skies, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 22. Snow likely tomorrow night, 15, cloudy. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday by Will Walter. And Will, you know, I have a hard time. I have a hard time watching some of the social media puts all of this, it levels it all. Everything becomes linear. You have social media feeds that put news stories talking about Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, and then going all the way, all ranges of politics from here, as Larry alluded to in the previous segment, the closing of Richland Center's UW campus, or the debt ceiling, and everything becomes very linear, and almost it's a leveling thing that it's hard to determine the scale and reach of some of these stories sometimes, because again, you're just it's constant flow, and so one of the things I try to do is we live in a time right now too where there needs to be accountability for many different things. Accountability is huge, and earlier today, as we were preparing for the show, I alluded to the fact that I don't like watching these videos for some of the things that come out that we know are horrendous. We know demand accountability, and we're going to see some accountability in some of these things. But a couple of them specifically today at the front of the mind with the attack of Paul Pelosi that took place last year, as well as a police brutality case down in Tennessee. And now I personally can't watch these videos. There's going to be one. You were telling me 6 p.m. is the anticipated release time of this?
Anticipated release 6 p.m. tonight of the Nichols video. And this one, I understand that people don't want to see it because it's grotesque. It's barbaric.
I can't watch these things. I honestly can't, because the video is like, I don't need video evidence to know something was bad. I know you alluded to as well. Sometimes you need the video to be able to prove that it happens. And I get
or
that
just
in court
to believe
cases.
Believe it, Luke. I feel like for a lot of people, you have to see it to believe it. A lot of Americans have been saying for years and years and years, you know, this is going on. Police are behaving this way. This is unacceptable from someone whose role is supposed to be protecting and serving the community. And these type of videos give you concrete evidence that, yes, they are in fact doing this. And these stories are not blown out of proportion. We saw it particularly with, you know, a lot of the BLM protests in the summer of 2020.
oh, you know, what are you getting angry about? If police aren't here to protect us, who's going to do it?
And the point of this was saying, like, no, police aren't doing that. A lot of times they are the ones perpetuating this violence in our communities. And I think this video upon release tonight might be kind of a tipping point. In the sense that all five officers were fired immediately. They have been arrested for second degree murder. The police union has stayed out of the way. Usually they'll fight tooth and nail, no matter how gross the behavior of the officers were. I feel terrible for the city of Memphis that they're going to have to go through this because this was a member of their community who was forced into this barbaric situation and is no longer with us because of it. I feel terrible for his family. I feel terrible for his friends. It's sad that it's 2023 and we still have to deal with these type of situations. And, you know, even the Memphis Police Department came out yesterday and essentially said, like, this is going to be ugly. Please stay nonviolent. If they're admitting that the day before release, if businesses have been picking up on, I forgot what it's called, but it's essentially anti-riot insurance protection for if there's any damage due to public
anger. I'm not familiar with the exact name, but I know what you're referencing as well.
And, you know, we cannot speak too lightly on how important these type of situations are, in my opinion, for public understanding of why that these rallies and that these marches and that this movement has come to be is because of stories like this. And if you want to bury your head in the sand and pretend like it doesn't exist, not in my America, that's not the world I know, then you're purposely ignorant to the reality that millions of American citizens face on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and another reason I guess some people just need to see it, you know, like I'm avoiding, I don't like the graphic content regardless of that. Like I don't need to see a police brutality video to know that there is police brutality in our society. I don't need to see the attack of Paul Pelosi to know that the somewhat conspiracy, it is a conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory that this was like Paul Pelosi's lover's quarrel and it went wrong and there was a hammer involved. Like that's a conspiracy theory. I don't need a video to prove to me that this was a breaking in of the Speaker of the House at the time, Nancy Pelosi's residence, and the assault of her husband. I don't need to watch the 30, 40, 50-second clip to know that the police
reports. I think that's what's so scary about that. I mean, it was like 15 seconds from the time the police opened the
door. The police were on the premise, yeah.
It was the hammer swing, yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't need to see those videos to know that, and I guess, I don't know if there's a gray area in there, because I'm just accepting the accounts of what the San Francisco PD had to say about this attack, or I guess I'm just not super, super gullible to believe that there's always a QAnon-esque conspiracy to explain away the right-wing violence that occurs, like in the Paul Pelosi attack. So it is going to be an interesting weekend. I know that this video.
I got some eye bleach for you, Luke, if you're interested.
There,
Sammy wants to say hello because
Sammy's saying hello to
very,
the Dueling Tangents
very
audience.
Very hungry.
Yes.
He usually gets his mid-afternoon snack at 3. I guess on this Friday he's saying, no, I want it at 2:30.
That's okay. That's okay.
Let's see the Republicans take that dog tax away because I will show him in front of the camera all day.
And Daisy appeared on the camera as well. So Remy did not get on film for the Dueling Tangents feed here on Devil Radio's Facebook page this week. But we'll have to see what we do about changing that. It means I'll have to broadcast from home one day next week.
You got to throw a little treat to the Facebook listeners now, yeah, man, especially on a Friday.
Absolutely. It is the weekend. If you missed any portion of this show, go over to civicmedia.us. You can check out the podcast there. You can also find the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Spotify, Stitcher, and the many, many more outlets that podcasts are now popping up these days. There's just more and more. Folks, we really appreciate you listening to the big show. We got Matt Flynn Direct coming up next, then the Devil's Advocates to follow him. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, folks, and we'll talk to you on Monday at 2.
Take it easy, party people.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.